Conrad, that was a nice try, but they did not listen to you one bit about asking them to move forward. They're still scared of the Wuhan, I guess. They're afraid to sit too close. They're social distancing tonight. Oh, I'm joking, man. It's so good to be here. Good to be in the house, Lord. I love Wednesday nights, and hopefully we're going to get back in the, not hopefully, we're going to get back in the routine first and third Wednesday nights. And so just glad you came. Thanks for coming. Just pray that the Lord would challenge you, the Lord would speak to you tonight. We're going to just look, we're going to pick up in the Gospel of Luke, and I'll just say to you right off the bat that I love, and I'm just sharing from my heart, I love the life of Jesus. Like, I love, like, if you say, Cody, where do you want to read in the Bible? Some people are Old Testament scholarly. Some people like the Psalms and the poetic writings. And some people like the epistles. And I'm just telling you, for me, like, I love to read Jesus's life. I love to read what he did. I love to read how he interacted with people. I love to how he challenged his followers. And so every time I read about it, it just teaches me more and more how that my faith is an everyday faith. Come on, somebody. My faith is not a Wednesday night thing, and it's not a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. And when I see Jesus, how he interacts, and I see Jesus, how he loves, it encourages me, it convicts me, and it even challenges me. And I'll just tell you, because it's Wednesday night, like, I strive, and I'm not telling you I get it right, so don't hear me on that, but like, I strive every day to impact people everywhere I go. I just do. If it's a waitress at a restaurant, if it's somebody at the grocery store, if it's a stranger, wherever, I just strive, and I want to be used by God. I want people not to see Cody, but I want people to see Christ in me, which is the hope of glory. And that's my desire for you. Can I tell you that? I love you, man. I love you, girl. I love you, student. I love you. And my desire for you is this. Yes, you can learn scripture. Yes, you can gain knowledge and wisdom. Yes, you can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I long to lead a congregation that goes out into the world where the rubber meets the road and walks and lives life every day the way Jesus did. And the world is changed because we were in it. It's what I long to do. Jesus has assembled this team of 12. He starts out, he knows he's got a mission. He gathers 12 of them. He's traveling. He's teaching. He's preaching. He's gained some popularity. He has, and he, many people are following Jesus. He starts out with 12. Next thing you know, this crowd gathers up, and this crowd gathers up. And next you know, there's so many multitudes, nobody can even get to Jesus. There's many following him. And here's a point that I want to make that really stood out to me as I read the text that we're going to get to in a minute. There is a huge difference in following Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. There's a huge difference, and I want to take a moment and explain that to you, because there's a huge difference in saying, oh, I'm following Jesus, and actually being a follower. There is a huge difference. Following, it means to go along with someone. It means to move behind, kind of in the same direction. It reminds me of, I'm following them on social media. I don't really know them. I don't really have an intimate relationship with them. I don't really know everything that they teach and they believe, but I got to check, and I am following them. I'm just going to say right quick, I think there's a multitude of people that gather in the church house on Sunday morning and gather in church houses on Wednesday night, and they are simply following Jesus. They're kind of going the same direction, and they kind of know how to, what they need to wear and the things that they need to say. They're simply following kind of in the right direction. But the question is this, are you really following Jesus? Are you really imitating him? Because to be a follower, it is a person who imitates or copies someone else. It is a servant or an attendant. I hope you see what I'm saying, because I'm going to be honest with you. For many years of my life, I was following Jesus. I was following, but I wasn't really imitating him, and I didn't really want to be like him, and I really wasn't serving him or his people or his kingdom. But then I had this moment, I had this epiphany, I had this time when the Holy Spirit challenged me, and I had to make a conscious decision to move from just following to go over here and being a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a follower, here's the deal. Following is easy, being a follower will often cost us something. We'll have to sacrifice. We'll have to give something up. I am afraid our world is full of people who say they're following Jesus, yet they are still lost in the crowd, and they're still not making a difference in the world. I used this example the other night at the Bible study over here, and God has, you got to answer this question, has God impacted your life? Has God impacted your life? Has your life been changed by the love and the power and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God? Then if God has impacted our lives, we have been called into his kingdom. Now he has sent us into the world to change the world. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever typed up a text to someone? Typed up a text to someone and only to find out the next day you forgot to push the send button. Come on, somebody. That text had lots of intentionality. That text had some meaning when you sent it out. That text was important to your heart, but it did not do what it was created to do because it was never sent. And there are many Christians who live inside of the church and they say they're following, but they don't ever understand the part of being sent. And if we're not sent into the world, we're actually not doing what we were intended to do. Jesus is going to send people out. So in Luke chapter 9, last time we met, we talked about the cost of following Jesus. And I really believe that one of the main goals of our faith in Christ is to move from following to being follower. So let me read you some scripture tonight. We're going to pick up in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. The Lord now chose 72 others. He had assembled a team of 12. Now he is building his team bigger. He chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and the places, watch this, that he planned to visit, that Jesus planned to visit. He sent them ahead of him. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. It's not always going to be easy. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter into someone's home, first say this, may God's peace be upon this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return unto you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter into a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate, and know this, the kingdom of God is near." Holy Spirit, speak to us, challenge us, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is adding to his team of 12. He's adding some more people. He chooses 72 others. I want us to think about this. I want us to think about this tonight. Out of all the multitudes and the thousands that are following him, we talked about how he had gained a following and how there are people everywhere. You can't even get to him. Out of the multitudes and thousands, Jesus chose 84 to go to the next level. Jesus chose just a few to go to the next level. My mind wanders when I read the scripture and I go, who are these 72 people? Who are these? Like the ones he chose, handpicked by Jesus. Why did Jesus choose them? Are they some sort of spiritual elites? Did they come from some certain denominational background? Were these men more educated than everyone else? Did they flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Did they have a better understanding of the old covenant? Were they older? Were they wiser? Why did Christ choose these 72 to take them to the next level? I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay on the same level for the rest of my life. I don't want to be somebody on the outside. I want to be somebody
on the inside. I want to be somebody that God sees something inside of me and he chooses me and there's a mandate on my life and he sends me out with an eternal purpose. Why did Jesus choose these 72? I'm going to tell you why I believe he chose these 72. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. If you're going to be a steward, if you're going to oversee your stuff, if you're going to oversee the stuff of someone else, you must be found faithful. Can I submit to you today that Jesus saw a faithfulness in these 72 guys that he did not see in the multitudes? Faithfulness to show up. Faithfulness to love other people. Faithfulness to be about prayer. Faithfulness to be willing to serve and do. Jesus saw that they were faithful. Faithful. Luke 12, 42 through 44. And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find him so doing when he comes. Truly I say unto you, he will set him over all of his possessions. The master is going away. He's looking for someone to tend to the sheep. The master is going on vacation. He's looking for someone to feed the horses at the correct time of day. Who is he going to try to find to oversee his business while he's out? He's going to find the one that's going to be faithful. Just be there every day and just show up every day. Faithful, trustworthy, a doer. Can I just tell you something today? So many of us think that we can't go to the next level and we can't be chosen and we can't be used by God because we know ourselves and we know our past and we know our weakness and we know our hidden sin and we know the things that go on in our mind. And so we let the enemy come in and tell us that we're disqualified, and we let the enemy come in and say we're too young, and we let the enemy come in and say we're too old, and we let the enemy talk us out of living a life that God can elevate to the next level. And God is just saying this, you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to have it all figured out. Just show yourself faithful. Show up every day. Show up every time. Get up every day and serve God with all you got. When you and I are faithful, we are a candidate to be raised to the next level and be elevated to be stewards in the kingdom of God. Just faithfulness, that's all Christ asks. Once again, these men were not just following, going the same direction like the multitudes. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to deny themselves. They were willing to say, not I live, but Christ lives in me. They were willing to go and do. The story only gets better for me, y'all. Jesus says, I'm choosing you 72 to go ahead of me to the towns where I am going to show up. Basically, Jesus is saying, I'm trusting you 72 faithful ones to go to that next town where I will show up. And Jesus is saying, I want you to go and prepare the way for me. I want you to go set it up so that when I get there. That to me, that just blows me away. Go ahead of me. Take care of business. Go ahead of me. Prepare for my arrival. Jesus said, prepare everything for when I get there. So around here at lunch, we eat lunch at church about 1 o'clock. There's five or six of us here. We eat church at one, and we eat lunch at 1 o'clock. That's because I'm the boss, and that's when I like to eat, I guess, is why we do that. And I like to watch Connor run around and foam at the mouth and talk about how hungry he is and how he needs to eat to keep that booty looking good like it does. So there's a little Mexican food joint down here that we love to eat at. You should try it out sometimes, Gonzalez. They make these tamales, and they make cream cheese, bacon, and jalapeno tamales. And I'm telling you, they'll change your life forever. Sometimes they're busy. Sometimes they're busy, and so because we want to go eat and not have to wait, here's what I'll do. I'll say to Gigi, Gigi, would you call ahead for us? Would you call ahead and tell them that we're coming? Would you call ahead and prepare the way? Would you call ahead and order 2 dozen cream cheese, bacon, and jalapeno tamales and tell them we're going to be there? And so Gigi calls ahead and it prepares that way. Make sure there are plenty of provisions when we get there. Can I tell you something? I trust Jesus.
Ain't nobody coming to pray with you. But these are practical things that we don't teach very much in the church. If we're going to represent and prepare them to receive Jesus, we have to have people skills, we have to have a good attitude, and we can't be a sourpuss, y'all. We have to be people of prayer. Be prayed up. Like, Lord, help me, because I'm going to engage these people. And I don't know if they're believers. I don't know if they're non-believers. I don't know if they're Jews. I don't know if they're LGBTQ+. I don't know if they're transitioning. I don't know if they're a Democrat. But, God, you've chosen me, and they're your people. Everybody is created in your image. You know what? We have to go over and be prayed up. Lord, help me if I get into a situation I ain't never been in before. These people had some work to do. They had to learn how to follow instructions. Did you see in that text right there? Jesus said, here's where you need to go. Here's what you need to take with you. Here's what you say to people. Here's where you stay. Here's what you eat. Jesus laid out a plan for them to follow. And I don't know about you. Sometimes I want to follow my own instructions and not anybody else's. God's saying, I'm laying out a plan. I'm showing you how to do it. I mean, this is so good to me. I love this stuff. Jesus said to these guys, when you go and stay with someone, eat what is set before you. Now, I know that seems crazy, but here's the deal. These people are probably Jews, these 12 disciples. And they have this strict dietary guideline. They've been eaten by this Old Testament law their whole life. And Jesus is going, go over there and meet people where they are. And don't go over there and look down your nose if they're eating something that you have never eaten before. Jesus said, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. I'm bringing the covenant of the New Testament. It's a new thing. And when you put your feet under somebody's table, show them some hospitality and just go ahead and eat what they serve you. Teaching us so much stuff. Be hospitable. Just a reminder that if we want to be some of the select few, if we want to be some of the select few that Jesus takes to the next level, we have lots of work to do to serve him and to serve others with excellence and to prepare the way. Remember, Jesus said the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, so get to work, guys. Get to work. Jesus said, I need you to follow my plans and follow my instructions. Now let's take a quick time out right here because we're Pentecostal people. Come on, somebody. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Don't tell me how to do this. I'm going to go. I'm not going to be prepared. I'm not going to be prayed of. I'm just going to go out in the Spirit of God. Well, you know what? That will work once in a great while. There have been times in my life when I'll be like, oh, Lord, I ain't got time to study, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to. I just trust the Holy Ghost will show up when I get up there to preach. Well, there ain't nothing any more awkward feeling than to get up here and be unprepared, and the Holy Spirit's like, you're on your own tonight, Jack. Stink it up. So we got to be led by the Spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me give you another one. Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So there is some freedom in the Spirit. Jesus didn't say, go to this house and this street on this street corner. He didn't say go to the yellow house with the purple trim and knock on that door. Jesus said, go and represent me. Let the Spirit lead you. Some of you may go here. Some of you may go there. But let the Spirit lead you. But still follow the directions and the instructions and the order that God has laid out for us. Y'all got quiet, didn't you? There is an order for your life. There is an order. There are some instructions for your business. There are some instructions for your marriage. There are some things that Christ will tell us exactly how to walk them out to bring victory to our lives and to the lives of others. So live in the freedom, but obey his instructions and will. God's instructions plus our preparedness equals victory in the kingdom of God. I want to close with a few of those instructions that Jesus gave. Jesus said, go, represent me. Let me just stop for a moment and remind you. You are representing Jesus. Not just to Jesus' followers, but to lost people. How you and I act will directly reflect on what other people believe about our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are unapproachable, if we are holier than thou, if we have zero people skills, if we have a sorry attitude and we're mad and angry all the time and people see us with our cross necklace on and our bumper sticker on the back of the car and that's the way that we behave, people will say, I want none of their God. We make mistakes, sure. Sometimes we get mad and angry and be stupid, yes. But the majority of the time, we need to live our lives out of, I'm walking like Jesus walked. And these people, I am preparing their hearts by a smile, by a soft word, by a handshake, by a hug, by sitting down and eating with them. I am preparing their hearts for the arrival of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this has eternal effects on it. Go. We have to go. We can't be the text message that was never sent. We cannot be that way. Let's, as we go, we have to be people of prayer. It seems like we've been talking a lot about prayer here lately. people of prayer. It's old, it's old-fashioned, it's sometimes boring, it's something I don't want to do and I don't have time to do. Pray, pray. Prayer changes things. Prayer alters situation. Prayer prepares our heart. Prayer gives us wisdom. Prayer softens the heart of where others are. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Prayer moves the hands of God. And if we're going to go, we have to be people of prayer. Prayer, go and pray. Jesus said, you got to prepare your mind, y'all. He said to him, you know what he said to him? Some people are going to receive you and some people are not. So don't be booty hurt and butt hurt and upset when somebody doesn't receive you. Jesus said there's some are and some are. Prepare your mind. Okay, it's not about me. It's not about you accepting me. It's not about you liking me. I'm just following the instructions of my Savior, and I'm trusting that he knows more than I know, and so I'm doing what he does. And if you like me, good. And if you don't like me, good for that too. I got the approval of my Heavenly Father, and that's all that really matters. Prepare your mind. He said, pack light. I love that. And you know, we can gather some crap up in this life. Come on, somebody. We got all our stuff, you know what I mean? We like all of our stuff, and Jesus is like, just pack light. Just really, possessions don't mean anything. Possessions come, possessions go. Be led by the Spirit. He said, heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. Speak about God. Speak about the kingdom of God. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Connor, y'all come help me. Please, close this down. I just love the life of Jesus. And here's going to be my closing statement. I hope for me and I hope for you. If Jesus were going to come and choose 84 once again, 12 in the beginning, 72 next. Yes, we're homeschooled, but I put it on my calculator on my iPhone and it's 84. 84. Seriously. Like, it moves me to know that God might choose me to be one of those 84. That he might choose you to be one of the 84. The multitudes are following, but he goes, there's 82. 80. There's some followers. Followers. They're imitating me. Are you living a life? Am I living a life where Jesus said, that's my man, that's my girl, that's the one I want representing me. That's the one I want to set it up and prepare the way. I don't know about you, but I want to be included in the 84. Father, we just love you and we thank you for today, and we just ask you in the closing moments of this service to just speak to us, Lord. Maybe some of us have never even really looked at it like the way we looked at it tonight. Maybe some of us just been going through the motions, living life, showing up at church, following along, saying, I believe God. I really believe tonight, men and women of Bethel, right here, right now, God's wanting to take us to the next level. God's wanting to use us in a greater way. So let's let the Spirit speak to our hearts tonight. But let's don't get so spiritual that we forget about the practical. Because there's some of you in here tonight, you need to know God counts you worthy and God wants to use you. There's some of you in here tonight, you need to know that. God has chosen you to represent him every day, and you are preparing people's hearts. You need to embrace your identity in Christ. You need to walk in the anointing. You need to quit trusting in your own swag and your own knowledge, and you need to just walk and trust the calling of God, because it is a high and a holy calling. And what you do, your occupation, it's just a doorway into the lives of the people around you. That's all it is. But then, okay, so there's some of you need to walk and embrace that spiritual side of it. But there's some of you in here tonight, you need to embrace the practical side of it. Because you've got zero people skills, and you're weird, and you're very judgmental, and you're hateful, and you're angry, and you act like every day the world is against you, and you're always tore up and anxious, and the life that you have chosen is affecting your usefulness in the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to say you don't have struggles. We all do. But there is a practical side. That's why there's a spiritual side and a practical side. Do you understand that? Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word took upon flesh, and He came, and He dwelt among us. Jesus was spiritual in the beginning, but He took upon flesh, and He became a practical Savior that walked on this earth, and that suffered, and that was hungry, and that was thirsty, and that understood what it felt like for people to betray you. There's a spiritual side and a practical side. It's the same with you and I. There's a spiritual side that we got to embrace. But we have to take that practical side, and the magic happens when the practical and the spiritual come together. Boom. So something shifts in our life. So I tell you what we're going to do tonight as we close in this service. We're going to celebrate communion tonight. Because communion is a perfect picture of the spiritual and the practical coming together. It's this God who is spirit. God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus is at His right hand. The Holy Spirit is the form of God. It's spiritual. But then there's a practical side, that His body was broken, that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And because of His physical death, we can now have hope of a spiritual resurrection when this physical body plays out. When it all comes together, practical and spiritual, boom, it's the magic. And we're going to celebrate this tonight. This do in remembrance of me. I want to challenge you tonight to remember what Christ has done for you. I asked you earlier, had Christ impacted your life? And you all said amen. Think about what He's forgiven you of. Think about what He's taken away from you. Think about what He has imparted into you. Think about it for a moment. And in that moment, my prayer is that in the breaking of bread, your eyes are open. And the spiritual and the practical, boom, hit, and a supernatural anointing takes over in your body, and you leave here going, I am preparing the way for my Savior, Jesus Christ. I am preparing the way in my home. I am preparing the way in my workplace. I am preparing my way in the school. I am setting all this up. I'm going to have people skills. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to meet people where they are. Set it up for Jesus to come into their life and change them forever. So the same night when Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it, and He said, take, eat, this is my body, practical, physical, which is broken for you. After that eating, He took the cup and said, this is the New Testament in my blood, physical blood that ran down His body, the blood of the covenant, the blood that would pay for your sins and my sins and cleanse us white as snow. He said, this is a new covenant. This do in remembrance of me. So, Father, we just pray for the broken body and the blood tonight as we participate, Lord, as we celebrate, as we enter in, Lord. I pray that You would speak to us and challenge us in this moment, Lord. We trust You to do what only You can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So, Troy and I are